Again, if you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you on this Mother's Day Sunday. We're so pleased to have you, and I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads that are provided. I want to remind you, look at your announcements in your bulletin today. Vacation Bible School will be June 22nd and 26th. This is a wonderful opportunity to invite your friends and family to come and be a part of this outreach program. And a very special thank you to everyone who was a part of Asbury's Got Talent last weekend, whether you were in the plays and in the skits, behind the scenes doing the getting the donations together and giving and all the things that made it happen. It was a wonderful event. It was a great night. And you can see the results in the bulletin this morning exceeded the goal. And it's a wonderful thing for our ministries here. So thanks to one and all for your work and your efforts. Let's take a moment and greet one another. At this time, Joe Waldrum has an announcement for you.
As someone who's also technologically and communicatively challenged, we didn't get our ducks in a row on that one. As chair of SBR, it's my responsibility to make you aware of changes in personnel at Asbury, and it is with sadness that we let you know that Christina Shirley Owens, who is our praise and worship leader in the celebration service, is resigning effective this week. Her husband, Joshua, has taken a position as a sound technician in his father's church. And these two folks have decided that they want to maintain their worship together. And so she's chosen to leave us at this time. We're going to miss her. We're grateful for her dedicated service. And she's done a wonderful job. We're really proud of the service. We're sorry we're losing her. But SPR is beginning a prayerful search to find a replacement. If you know of people who might be interested in that position, please let the church know and keep Christina and her family and Asbury in your prayers. Thank you.
Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
As we sing our opening hymn of worship, number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
you join with me in our litany of faith? For our mothers who have given us life and love, that we may show them reverence and love.
We pray to the Lord.
For mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them.
We pray to the Lord.
For women, though without children of their own, who like mothers have nurtured and cared for us.
We pray to the Lord.
For mothers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families.
We pray to the Lord.
Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
There was a song written in 1987 by a Christian artist, Wayne Watson. And so by today's standards, hopefully 87, this is a classic in Christian music, but it's a wonderful song that made it to the top of the Christian charts then, called Watercolor Ponies, and is about watching our children grow up.
There are watercolor ponies on my refrigerator door, and the shape of something I don't really recognize. Brushed with careful little fingers and put proudly on display, a reminder to us all of how time flies. Seems an endless mound of laundry and a stairway laced with toys gives a blow-by-blow reminder of the war that we fight for their well-being, for their greater understanding, to impart a holy reverence for the Lord. But baby, what will we do when it comes back to me and you? They look a little less like little boys every day. Oh, the pleasure of watching the children growing is mixed with a bitter cup of knowing the watercolor ponies will one day ride away. And the vision can get so narrow as you view through your tiny world, and little victories can go by with no applause. But in the greater evaluation, as they fly from your nest of love, may they mount up with wings as eagles for His cause. Still I wonder, baby, what will we do when it comes back to me and you? They look a little less like little boys every day. Oh, the pleasure of watching the children growing is mixed with a bitter cup of knowing the watercolor ponies will one day, ride away.
Do I have any children to come forward for children's moments? Come on down. You're the next contestant on children's moments. All right. Good morning, boys and girls. You having a good morning? What special day is it? Mother's Day. Did you tell your mother I love you this morning? Okay. I have a card here. It's a Mother's Day card. Anybody give your mom a card? You did? Did she like it? Yeah? This card says, I love you. There's lots of different ways we can say it, but you know what your mother would really want? Wants you to show your love. What's that? A picture of her chasing butterflies. That's a great picture. What other ways can you show your mom that you love her? Maybe you could clean your room. Huh? You did that yesterday. You're a good girl, Mary. What's that? Maybe you could obey your mom. Be kind to her. That's real good. Do you have any brothers and sisters? Maybe you could be nice to them every now and again. Yeah? Well, in the same way we need to show our love to our moms, do you think God wants us to do that too? Do you think God wants to, for us to show love to Him? How can we do that? How can we show God that we love Him? We can pray. That's good. We can read the Bible. Come to church. It's great. And then we can love one another. Isn't that what God wants us to do? Yeah. So if we can love our moms and we can love each other, then God will be so pleased. All right. After this, I want you to go back to your seat and say Happy Mother's Day to someone. All right? That's true too. You could give cards to each other. But let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer, okay? Dear God, we thank you for our moms, for their love, for their care. And also we pray for God, for the love you give us. Amen.
I call your attention to our prayer concerns printed in the bulletin this morning, and let's take our concerns as well as our joys to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, we come this morning to worship and praise you. Thankful for all the blessings you've given us, But for some of us, life is upside down and the order of the world is out of place and we can't do anything to right it again. And so we turn to you, for it's with you that things become right again. Relying on you, we find strength when we've none left and patience when ours is so often gone, and the wisdom and endless well of compassion and love that we need in our lives. We praise and thank you that no life circumstance or heart condition is beyond your loving touch. And on this Mother's Day, we remember in prayer all mothers everywhere. For those who this day may not be filled with joy. For every single mother who must be both mother and father to her children. May you give her strength and courage. For daughters who must now be mother and caregiver. For mothers with children in battle on foreign soil and in service to their country. And we pray especially today for mothers who cannot feed their children. Mothers who are homeless or without a homeland. Mothers who must teach their children about the dangers of bombs and bullets. Oh God, help us create a world where mothers can raise their children in peace and plenty. And we thank you for those who have been a mother to countless others and for those who have shared their love and faith. And we thank you too this day for the gift of families. You know, Lord, families are not perfect places. No matter how hard we try, because we're imperfect people. And we need your kind of love for each other. We need your kind of clean slate forgiveness for one another. And that's hard to do. And there are folks whose greatest hurts were family blows, who just can't imagine forgiving or forgetting. And we come together to ask you to be healing damaged relationships and painful memories. Show us, dear God, how to deal with our grief and regrets and anger. Make us grateful when we've been parented wisely and well. We join our hands this morning in this family circle and raise our voices in thanks to you for your great love. Help us as a church family to be a place where people can feel nurtured and their gifts and talents appreciated and cultivated. You hear the prayers of each of us, small as we are. Your understanding is beyond our imagination. But you care enough to listen to us. And you understand our hurts and our fears and our needs. So we lift to you our prayer concerns with complete trust that you will hear and meet every need, every spoken and unspoken prayer. All this we pray in the strong and loving name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Wednesday morning, 40 of our preschoolers in the ACCDC presented me with a load of food items for Change the World Day for our homeless food kits. The children were excited and they sang songs and they prayed. But the interesting thing was that they really understood what it was they were doing. They were showing, they said, that they told me that they were doing this because Jesus wants us to. So this morning, as we offer our gifts, let the children be our example. Let us give joyfully. Let us give with thoughtfulness. Let us give because we love Jesus. Because inasmuch as we've done it unto one of the least of these, we've done it unto him. And we have the opportunity next weekend to do it unto him. See me in the back of the Wilson Activity Center, and I'll share with you the opportunities we have for our service day, changing the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are reminded of the words that Christ said to us. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Help us, dear God, to use our gifts and our talent and our time to do it unto him, to love our neighbors. In Christ's holy name.
Oh,
remain standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
This morning, as we are lifting up women and mothers in particular, I offer to you from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, as we go to read about the story of Mary and Martha, found in verses 40 through 42. May the people of God be inspired by this passage of God's holy word recorded in Luke 10, 40 through 42. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. The word of God for the people of God. Happy Mother's Day. You don't say that to your preacher all the time. There's a story about a woman who loved to go with her family on vacations to Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard, of course, is a place on the coast with beautiful scenery and a very charming set of eight little towns with great just ambiance. And it's also known, of course, that Hollywood celebrities will vacation there at times as well. So one day when this woman was on vacation, she just had a hankering for an ice cream cone. So she began to walk the charming streets and found her an ice cream parlor and walked into the door, and lo and behold, who was there? Paul Newman. Oh, he was sitting there very casually eating a pastry and sipping a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper. And the woman, completely starstruck, had to absolutely restrain herself from going over there to speak to him. Well, he, of course, had been in this situation thousands of times, and he acknowledged the woman by nodding to her very graciously and giving her a warm smile. again, just mesmerized by him. She had to really focus on ordering that ice cream cone. And so she smiled back at him and went to the clerk and took the cone in her hand and her change in the other and began to walk out the door. But suddenly she caught herself as she was walking out the door, and she thought, you know, this is ridiculous. I am a grown woman. There is no sense in me being this mesmerized. So she turns around and she says a polite hello to Paul Newman before saying, a polite goodbye to him as she was beginning to walk out the door. And as she gets to her car, she looks and she has her change that the clerk gave her in one hand, and the other hand is empty. And she thinks, oh my, I have left that ice cream cone in the store. And so she turns around very embarrassed and goes back to the clerk to see if maybe he's still holding it because she didn't grab it, or to look over here where the cone stand was to see if she had absentmindedly put the ice cream cone in the cone stand while she was reaching for her money out of her billfold. She looks around the store a bit, very puzzled, when she sees Paul Newman do this. She goes over there to him, and with a wry yet gentle grin, he says, I believe you put it in your purse. Sometimes we become so distracted. We do things we don't mean to do, and sometimes our attention is so caught on one thing that we don't do the other thing we intended to do. And that seems to be somewhat what is going on in this text and the Luke story. This story could very well be labeled the tale of two sisters. But on this Mother's Day, I would venture to say that most of us had or have moms who are either one or the other, very structured, very organized, or quite the free spirit. One day, Jesus came to have a meal at the home of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who lived in Bethany. Now, one sister, Martha, had been slaving over the hot stove all day long because, after all, she was preparing a meal for Jesus. And she was the type A kind of personality, and you know the type. I know it really well. Highly structured, highly organized, wants everything perfect. Staff, don't say a thing. You know, the fork and the knife and the spoons and the extra forks and the extra spoons and the extra knives put all in the perfect place. The napkin folded just right. And then there was the other sister, Mary, who was not nearly as preoccupied with tasks as she was with opportunity. Namely, in this moment, the opportunity to learn from the Lord Jesus himself. Well, this didn't set well with Martha. After all, she was preparing for the Messiah to visit their home. This isn't just any visitor, and this isn't just any meal. No doubt Martha had a reputation for being a wonderful hostess and cook, because the Gospels share with us that Jesus frequented the home on more than one occasion to enjoy their hospitality. So no one could really cast a stone towards Martha for what she was doing. But I believe Jesus is making, in this point, a contrast in choices. Not condemning Martha, Jesus is very careful, however, to compare the end results of the choices we make. Feeding Jesus or feeding the soul, which eventually then goes on to feed other souls. Although Martha believes she is doing the appropriate religious act out of respect and honor, Jesus lifts up a point. There is something even more important: the opportunity to renew your soul in the face of God's presence. As we look into our own faith journey, we may feel very good about all the things that we do for our church and our community. And it's wonderful to have that affirmation, to have that fulfillment. But know this, there is something deeper than simply what we do for Jesus. The deeper thing is what we will become for Jesus. For Christ hopes in us to be a people of prayer. Christ hopes in us to be a people of spirit. And Christ hopes in us that we will then love others, care for others, and connect to others for God's kingdom. Because quite frankly, our society lauds loudly to us, "Don't just stand there, do something." Okay, so we become workaholics. But there is something greater. Don't just do something, stand there. Or as the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Like Martha, and like the woman with Paul Newman, we can become consumed with distractions. We live for distraction. Texting while driving, do not do that. Emailing or playing a video game while watching TV when he's supposed to be enjoying a movie with his wife. Talking on the phone while we're working out. We multitask and we're proud of it. We're distracted at our jobs. We're distracted by all of our obligations. We're distracted by interruptions. And companies are constantly demanding more of us, higher productions, greater sales quotas. And we become locked into the mindset, okay, if I just work a little harder and work a little longer, then maybe I'll get ahead. And soon the work week is 6 days a week, and Sabbath just becomes another day to do everything we hadn't gotten around to doing. No wonder we have a difficult time packing the pews for people to be in regular worship. Thank God for Mother's Day. Let's give a shout out to moms who, by and large, have encouraged through their witness to worship our Lord, and are quite proud when their children, as grown adults, regularly worship the Lord. And not only that, they're bringing their children up to do the same. Because with all the distractions, we may miss the one thing that Jesus wants most from us, and that's to follow him, to seek him first. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you." Because if you allow the distractions of life to rule your heart and your home, you will never have enough room to tend to the things of the Spirit. Prayer. Oh, I forgot to pray today. Worship. Reading a devotional or the Bible. Oh, I forgot to see what God wants me to hear today. Cultivating friendships. Oh, I keep thinking I'll call him or her and get together. And you never do. Those distractions, those interruptions get in the way. And family. I promised my boy I'd do this with him. I guess I'll have to do it somehow, maybe next week. We'll never have room left to tend to the things that are important, that Jesus teaches us to take care of first. Is there a Vanna White in the house? Here we go. Let's do this one. Remember the blonde wig that he wore for Asbury's Got Talent last year? I should have brought it. Vanna. There's a parable concerning time management. Could you do it a little quieter? And you're probably quite familiar with it, but it bears being reminded of. A teacher had a class that she was teaching about time management and put a jar out there. And she had several different bags of objects with her. One was the bag of large rocks. And she said, "Do you think that I can fill up this jar with these rocks?" And they said, "Yes." And so, I think that'll do it. And so she had the rocks put in the jar. "Is it full now?" she asked the class. Don't encourage him. "Is it full now?" And they said, "Yes." And she said, "Are you sure?" And she began to take out some small pebbles and put those in the jar. She asked the class, "Is it full now?" And they began to be hesitant. And one little voice in the back said, "Yes." And then she took some sand.
"I'm going to make a mess."
Please don't. I'll have the altar guild all over me. She took the sand.
You should have practiced this.
She took the sand that wasn't so moist. And she said, "Is it full now?" No one said a word. And then she took the water. And David's over there thanking the Lord that I didn't ask him to do this. "You're doing a good job." And she asked the class, let's give him a hand. "Is it full now?" And they said, "Yes." And she said, "So class, what does this teach you?" And one little boy spoke up and said, "Well, what it teaches you is just when you think you have plenty, you always have room for more." The young man is a member of Hoarders Anonymous. "No," the teacher exclaimed. "If you don't put the important things into your life first, you'll never have room or time to put them into your life." Jesus is speaking to you and me today. He really is. You are worried and distracted by many things. You think you have to do all of these, but the truth is you only have to do one thing. And that's to follow me. To love me. To follow me. To be aware and repent of your sin. to believe that I forgive your sins, to rise up from that new life, to live more obediently, love more deeply, and serve more faithfully. On this Mother's Day, let us remember our mothers, the things that they taught us, the love they modeled for us, and their witness which inspired us. And whether your mother was a Martha or a Mary, perhaps the greatest lesson of their legacy to you and to me is very basic. My child, just keep the main thing, the main thing. Jesus Christ, the main thing, the main one, calls us away from all of our distractions onto the path of direction. So, this Mother's Day, what is it that your mother might want the most from you? I think it's to worship her Lord, your Lord, my Lord. Thanks, Mama. You taught me well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is Happy the Home Where God Is There, 445. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, or to come forward and profess your faith in the main thing, Jesus Christ our Lord, as your personal Lord and Savior, renew that profession, or to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so at this time. I can't think of a greater way to spend Mother's Day. You are my family. Please receive the benediction. And now, God, we know that this world holds many distractions, but you call us to direction to you. You called yourself the way, the truth, and the life. May we follow that path in loyalty and love as we go forward now. And the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit. Amen.